It's so nice to be reminded once in a while that forgiveness is something we need to always remember. And rightly enough, Brother Arturo and Brother Josh P. John reminded us that forgiving is such that the old record is wiped out and we have good conscience with the Lord. And we are eternally grateful for that. And today, the Lord reminded us again that we should never forget it and never take it lightly as well. There are two things we would remember about today. What is the first one? What is the special thing about today? 9/11, yes. I remember that day, early morning. What a terrible tragedy that took place, that we were attacked by hostile enemy. 4,000 lives were just gone like that, you know, from the tower. Although that's a gloomy day, people just forget about that, you know, that sometimes it is always good to remind us ourselves that tragedies like that bring us closer to the Lord. What's the second thing about today? Anything that you feel about the second important thing about today? Sorry. It's the Lord's Day. Another encouraging thing is that it's the grandparents' day as well. And I am so thankful because grandparents are such joy to ELBC, and I praise God for each of them. And those who are young today, your turn will come. But be patient, that let us take that honor for now as we duly deserve it. And, it's a joy to see that grandparents are a blessing to our assembly as well. For today's meditation, I have a portion from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We will have a few verses. 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 30, and then chapter 12, 7 to 10. And my brother Justin has graciously agreed to come and read it for us. Come on, Justin. Thank you.
Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 22 to 30. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body do I or do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me what he seems me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thank you very much, Justin. Let's look to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Paul. We can never imagine, Lord, the pain, the agony, the daily burden of many things, Lord, that your servant went through. He did not have to go through any of them, but he chose to endure it. Today, Father, we just read those experiences of Paul, and we humble ourselves to know that you are a God of mercy and compassion, plan and purpose, and you do things in this world with each one of us with a plan and with a purpose. And surely, Lord, we thank you for your great plan concerning Paul, that you finished it. Today, Paul is resting with thee. And Father, we know that many, many more servants of God go through trials, tribulations in life, but they finish their course resting in your presence today. You have given a life to toil, to work hard, to labor for you. No matter, Lord, how long we live, we are accountable for our life, the time that you give to us. Even the time that you give us today in your presence, Lord, we are accountable. So we pray, Father, that our time together will be edifying, encouraging to one another. For we ask you with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. In our versions of the Bible, most of them got a title for this passage that we read: suffering for Christ. That's a very good title. We are nobody to change any of the things, but just for our discussion today, I would suggest, you know, that we put a different title just for our discussion today: swimming against the tide. I think swimming is something we all know. I grew up near a river, very close to a river, that I spend a good part of each day in the water. And sometimes if I just finish my time in the water, I would go and then sit near the river, watch the river, because watching a river full of water is so comforting, so kind of soothing, that I enjoyed those days. Sometimes my younger brother also come and sit with me. We just discuss things near the water. But playing and swimming in the water was something I could not resist. And I remember that my dad had to beat me several times because I spent so long in the water. Swimming against the tide is something I took extra pleasure, especially when the river gets flooded and the tide is getting stronger. I just jumped into the water and show my skill to swim against the tide. I learned a few things at the time and later on in life. It's swimming just in water is one thing, but swimming against the tide is very hard. It's much more harder as we think when we sit it before entering the water. But once you are in the water and swimming against the tide, it is risky. But you may not do it too long, but you can do it if you got a determination to do it. You should never be afraid to do that. And then you should also should have strong leg muscles, and you should be fit enough to swim against the tide. In here, Paul is talking about experiences which is similar to a swimming against the tide. Paul's Christian walk, you know, it's almost like a similar experience, you know, that swimming against the tide, the beaten path of life. Paul decided to go against that, isn't it? And we know that there are events and instances where Paul was in real danger, as we read several of those instances here. But before we go into that lengthy passage, you know, that I would just like to highlight a few things that we are going to discuss today. First one, how did the Damascus trip changed Paul? We will go that portion also. Why did Paul have to go through such adversities in life? Three, how did he face what was his approach towards the dangers? Four, why did he boast in infirmities? And we notice that he boasting in infirmities. Why did he take pleasure in it? How did he handle thorn in the flesh? And finally, what are the applications for us today? So how did the Damascus trip change to Paul? Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. And if you go with me, Acts chapter 9. We'll read I think we'll read from the beginning. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the rocks. So he, trembling, astonished, and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. I was amazed, you know, that Paul took so much of preparation to go to Damascus, you know, with proper letters, everything from the high priest, with the one sole purpose was to get hold of the men and women who followed the Lord Jesus, try to arrest them, and then take them in captivity. That was his sole purpose. And we know the story that he was struck by the Lord Jesus with one lightning touch. Paul fell on the ground. He lost his eyesight. But the beauty of that, the whole event, See the way how Paul is asking, Lord, who are you? We should remember that although Paul was doing this cruelty towards followers of the Lord Jesus, he had a good intention, you know, because he was thinking that he was doing the right thing. That was the only difference. He was serving the wrong cause and hurting the wrong person. He did not know that. And so the Lord had to deal with him with such a force that he just could not realize it, what a foolish move he was doing. Then the talk went on, but I would like to go from there to how that Damascus trip ended up after that. God's servant Ananias, but the Lord said to him, go. This is actually then Ananias answered, Lord, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, and Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your servants in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who are on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. We'll move on. Verse 18. We'll read 17 also. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road to Damascus, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. He received food, verse 19, then he received food, he was strengthened. Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Notice verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. We also notice that it didn't take that many days that Paul embarked a great trip to Arabia to minister to the people over there. And that is something we would make note of, that Paul, when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus, and when he reconciled with the Lord, received the commission, it didn't take that long to start a different turn in his life. Not only that, he went away far, far away from where he was. He went to Arabia, and history says that he was there at least 2 to 3 years in our Arabia. And we also know that he came back to Jerusalem, met the church leaders, Peter, all those disciples, he met them. But prior to meeting any of them, his first task was evangelizing the people that God brought in his life. And he did that faithfully. Move on to the next one. Why did Paul have to go through these adversities? Let's go back to those passages that Justin already read earlier. His approach to afflictions of different type that we read, prison life, beating. In one occasion, he was beaten 40 minus 1, that is 39 beatings. We know that at the footnote, it says that according to that tradition and the custom there, if you exceed more than 40, you are violating the law. So the Jews who were doing that, and they just had to reduce it to one and make it 39. So he was beaten 39 times. And there were occasions where he had to go through shipwreck, hunger, sickness, hunger, and also thirst. On and on, it says so many, many, many kind of trials, tribulations, pain. On the top of all that was listed, a daily sorrow and concern concerning the churches that he was ministering. So it looks like a heavy burden Paul was carrying every day. But notice that how he is describing these trials in life. Notice that these are light affliction. Let's go back to that 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. Starting from verse 16. Just to bear in mind, you know, that all that agony and the trials and the tribulations he was facing, this is what Paul's outlook on everything that he was going through. Therefore, verse 16, that is 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, that the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I cannot even contain that. It says a light affliction. Definitely, Paul is not using any flowery language here, but he's telling the truth. He took it as light. And then he also said that is only for a moment. And we don't know how long Paul had to endure this kind of beatings and prison life. Of course, it took so many time, you know, prison life. Summing up all those experiences, God's servant says, these are light afflictions. And it is only for a moment. I can tell you that Paul can say this, but many of us won't be able to say that, because for us, one day of headache looks like eternity sometimes, because we just feel so miserable. Any kind of sickness, we found it as very dragging, so much of taking our energy and our concentration doing things. But look at this great servant of God. He says it is light affliction. It is but for a moment. Let's move on to the next one. He is boasting in his infirmities. 2 Corinthians 12:5. That Justin read earlier. Let's go back to that portion again. Many boast, to put it in a different way, people usually boast in never in infirmities, right? The normal tendency is you boast in your wealth, boast in your health, boast in your abilities, and also boasting in any good things that you really enjoy in life. But hardly anyone will have the courage to boast in infirmities. And that's what Paul says very clearly. I boast in my infirmities. Let's see that portion again. I must boast in the things which concern my infirmity. That's verse 30. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not like. Then he was saying about how he was delivered from the captivity at Damascus. And then he says that he will boast in his weakness. He also says about a special kind of a vision that he had at this time, that is in verse chapter 12. Doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. He was caught up to the paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Think about that experience that Paul had. The atmospheric space here is, we can call it the first heaven. The interplanetary space, that is the second stage, second heaven. And the third heaven is the paradise where the abode of God and the angels. He says he was there. And not only that, he heard words and talks from angels, and he heard it. It says it is inexpressible because he is not permitted, you know, to speak those things in the earth. But Paul had a special privilege to go to that place and listen to that talk. And he says, I will boast on that such a man. It's very interesting that Paul is not talking about himself here. He is talking about it in third person. Although it was same Paul, he says, I will boast only on that event and nothing else I can claim. In this body, I do not have anything to boast, but I experience something special and I really enjoy that, he says. Many boast according to the flesh, but he boasts in his infirmities that we already talked. And then the second one is actually the a thorn in the flesh. Yes, Paul's dealing with sufferings, that's the next one we would like to consider now. It says that he had a difficult situation to deal with. It says a thorn in the flesh. If you notice, that is very, very, very specific way that is explained here. We know that Paul do not want to make too much descriptions here, but he says a few things. One is, it is allowed by God. It was like a messenger of Satan. And its purpose also is given. The purpose was to make Paul humble. So three things are mentioned. That's all we can find out here. Paul was buffeted by this messenger of Satan. Sure, it was from Satan. And then it was just for that purpose, and that is, you should not be puffed up, you know, because Paul was a person who had revelations after revelations, visions after visions, which nobody else had. So God says it very clear to him that just because you had too many revelations and visions to make you humble, I am allowing this. But the sad thing is, Paul requested to the Lord Jesus, whom he loved, three times, please give me victory over this one. I need to get rid of this. There are so many explanations we can hear, but nothing is mentioned in the scripture. It's not mentioned there because certain things are not actually revealed to us. And when the scripture is silent, our job is to take it as it is and without even assuming what it is. All what we know is that God allowed this particular kind of infirmity to poke and give this kind of experience to Paul. It was so painful. And there were probably possibilities of many. Maybe some of the false prophets, you know, he had to deal with in the Church of Corinth. And dealing with those false prophets can be a demon. Maybe one of the ringleader of the false prophets might be a demon, or God might, or demon might have used one of those false prophets to torment or to take away the peace of Paul. Whatever is this scenario there, scripture is not going any further. It's not making very, very clear anything more than that. But Paul requested God three times. The Lord Jesus denied that request. So what else was given when it was denied? Lord Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And that was very, very true, that although the request was denied, Lord Jesus gave him grace to deal with it. So the request was in one way answered in a way that is really beneficial and needed for Paul, that the grace of the Lord Jesus, that was what Paul needed on a daily basis. And that is supplied on a daily basis to Paul. I think life experiences, you know, sometimes can be similar to this one to some of us. That may not be the same way as Paul had to go through, but some of the infirmities or some of the sorrows that we go through, some of the difficult life we had to go through, we sometimes think, if I had never happened this thing into my life, if only I was given a different kind of experience, how blessed I would have been. Think about that. You know, there are a lot of unanswered prayers sometimes in a Christian life. We don't know why God in his infinite wisdom grant us those requests. But one thing is very clear from the life of Paul, that although Paul requested three times, it was not granted. And I know that in the same way, any believer, either in his ministry or in his private life or in his walk with the Lord, things really sometimes make it harder and harder to deal with sometimes. But even after taking it to the Lord, this is what happens sometimes. The Lord will say, "That's okay. My grace is sufficient for you." I know that there are so many instances in the life of several missionaries that they all had to go through losses, loss of loved ones, loss of finance, and bitter experiences one after another. And some, sadly enough, you know, sometimes interpret as bad luck or God's punishment. But we are nobody to judge it. But this is the way we should look at it, that these are messengers of Satan to make us humble. If we take it that way, he is promising grace to deal with it. Not only for that particular issue, but on a daily basis, he will give grace that we can survive. Not only survive, but we can be victorious in serving the Lord. There are several examples in the scripture that Lord answered his servants similar to Paul, that it may not be the way how you and I sometimes expect, but the Lord's answer to each of those requests can be weighty. Sometimes praying for loved ones who are terminally sick, and prayed and prayed, but he or she passes away, that really make a lot of sorrow after that. But remember this, that is one of the trials that God allows us in our life. We think it in a very different way, but God has got a different plan and purpose. Even through death, his name would be glorified. You know why? This is his promise that he will give grace in the measure it is needed for each person. Shame and sorrow, distrust, all kinds of issues you may have to deal with it. But the good news is that the Lord is so faithful that he will give grace for every occasion. One of the hymns, you know, that I used to take courage and strength is in our red hymnal. There's a hymn 395. The hymn writer is talking about grace. Jan would be able to help us in that. Since we have a few more minutes, maybe while closing, I would like to take that hymn 395. That hymn writer is like, I think it's the title, it says, what's the title of the song? How Firm a Foundation. And the Lord has given us a firm foundation based on his promise. And that is, he would meet every need by grace. No matter how deep the sorrow is, how deep the demand is, but he has promised that he will give grace to deal with that. And that is that hymn. Shall we all sing that, and then I will close with prayer after that. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that your word time and again reminds us that soul that go to Lord Jesus for repose, he will never and never and never and never forsake. Not only, Father, that fiery furnace will burn out only the dross, but the refined product will come at the end. Father, we know that trials, no matter what kind of trials in life, whether in the ministry or in our walk with you, we thank you, Father, for every trial, every fiery experiences that you give us. Because along with that, Lord, you promise that you will never forsake us. To the measure that is needed, grace is supplied daily, momentarily. We know that, Father, thousands and thousands of Lord's servants who lived before us, many of them, Lord, had to go through trials after trials. We never can understand the trials your servant Paul went through. But thank you, Father, giving him that great revelation that they were light afflictions for a moment, because your exceeding reward is promised at the end. So here, Lord, in this word, in our walk with you, today we thank you for every trials that you give in every family of this assembly. Some go through trials, some go through heartaches, some go through, Lord, things that cannot be shared with others. But you know everything. No matter how bitter everyone's experience, Lord, one day the Lord will show and prove that you are worth leader and your promises are promises that you never break. Father, we thank you for everyone here and those who are waiting, hearing from their home through Zoom. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant them grace in the measure each soul is needed. Those who go through sickness, physical weaknesses in their body, those who go through terminal sickness, each of them, Lord, would receive your grace on a daily basis, we pray. Not only, Father, that at the end, they would receive the reward that worthy servant, your commendations at the end. So we thank you for each one of us. Thank you for those who are away from us. Watch over us, Lord. Protect us, not only today, but the rest of the week. Give us, Father, the unction from above to be occupied till you come. Thank you for hearing us. For we ask in our Lord Jesus' blessed name.